Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy. I've been so eager to do this interview for a long time because joining me is a longtime Mixergy listener who was inspired by interviews like the one you're about to listen to and then decided, you know what? I'm going to create my own software company. Before that, he was blogging. He was doing online teaching. But once he decided to get into software, once he saw that opportunity, and I feel like your life changed. Am I right about that?
Yeah, definitely.
Person whose voice you just heard is Aurelien Amaker. I love the accent. French?
Yeah, I'm French. I'm from Paris, France.
One of my favorite places to go. Once I had kids, I couldn't just get on a plane and go to Paris and sit in a coffee shop for like 5 hours. And I so miss being able to do that. Do you still do that as a French guy in Paris? Do you go to sit in a coffee shop for hours?
Yeah, so actually I've been living in Lisbon, Portugal for 5 years.
Okay.
You came to Lisbon actually a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that on Twitter, and I sent you a message, and I tried to give you some advice and stuff. I would love to meet you. So yeah, I'm from Paris. It's a great city to visit, but it's a pretty bad place to live, actually. So why? I'm very happy. No, because people are rude. It's very expensive. Weather is bad. It's all the opposite of Lisbon, actually.
Yeah, I found people in Lisbon incredibly nice. It has a lot of the benefits of Paris. Like, you could sit in a coffee shop for a long time if you want to. I look for places where I could sit and work and think. And then it's incredibly inexpensive and the weather's nice, right?
Yeah, it's very cheap. Actually, like, real estate got like super expensive. Like, we had actually Madonna, the singer, living in our street 200 meters from us for like 6 months. But no, it's a great country. Very happy to be here. Very safe. Great people. It's really, really nice.
His website, his software is system.io. And what he does is this. He's got this package. It's all-in-one solution for everything you need to create a landing page, which collects email addresses, to offer a first sale, to offer an upsell, a downsell. If you've got people's email addresses, you don't need to pass their email addresses onto another email app. He will let you send email out from his software. And am I right? You also do affiliate programs, right?
Yeah, affiliate program, online courses with membership sites, and also marketing automation.
All in one. He built this company, bootstrapped it, and we're going to find out how well it did and why it did well. Thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. The first, if you need to hire developers, if you're inspired by this and you say, I got to grow, I got to build something, and you need a developer, I urge you to go to toptal.com/Mixergy, where you can get the best developers. And number two, there's a podcast that I'm going to urge you to check out after this interview is done. It's called Traffic Secrets. Aurelien, what do you feel comfortable saying about your revenue? I know that you're a little more open now, but not totally open.
We're going to do close to 3 million in revenue this year. So 3 million euros. So
give me monthly. Last month, June, yeah. June 2020, roughly what did you do?
I checked this morning. We did 260,000 euros in sales. So it's like $280,000 to $290,000.
But then you don't get to keep all of that, right? A big chunk of that goes to affiliates. Is that how it works?
Like maybe a quarter of that. But then you have VAT. It's like the European, you know, consumer tax that we have to collect.
So after paying consumer tax, after paying your affiliates, how much is yours?
It would be around 50 to 60,000 euros in profits.
Okay.
So it's great. My goal is to get to 100,000 euros in profits per month.
Okay.
I mean, I'm 40, you know, we can talk about it. I've made some investments in my life. I own some real estate and stuff, but today we would like to buy a big home here in Lisbon with my wife, and they're not cheap, you know? So yeah, I have some personal goals.
What kind of real estate investments have you made so far?
So I started like not so young, actually. In 2014, I bought an apartment in Lyon, France, you know. It's the second biggest city in France. So it was really like an investment. So we renovated, rented out to students. So it's, you know, an investment. The same year, I bought a small apartment in Colombia because my wife is Colombian. So, and we were actually living in Colombia at that time. So I wanted to make an investment. And then when we arrived in Lisbon, so I was the following year, so it was a lot of purchases. You know, I wasn't that rich, but yeah, I was doing well. My goal was to actually make an investment within a year following our arrival in Lisbon, because I loved the city so much. I thought it was undervalued. There was a huge potential. And not even 6 months after arriving, we bought an apartment that costed us, fully renovated, 155,000 euros. We were renting to students and on Airbnb, and it was bringing in like almost 2,000 euros per month in revenue. So like a 14% yield, you know.
Is it still doing that even after COVID?
Oh, I mean, it's been empty for 3 months, you know, of course, but it's totally fine. Like, well, it's no big deal for us.
Look at how far you've come. This is totally fine. You've got all these investments. Your business is growing tremendously. And I know that it's grown tremendously fast this year. And we'll talk a little bit about why COVID helped you grow.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking about where you were 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you got a job offer. What was the job offer?
A job offer for like a sales position for actually, I think it was like a software company. And the idea was for me to go after a couple of years, go to work in Chicago. But at that time, actually, I had a book that about personal development that nobody was reading. Like if I had 10 visitors in a day, I would pop a champagne, you know.
Well, what were you writing about on your blog?
I was reading about personal development and stuff that nobody bothered about. Like at that time, I was even posting, I think, cake recipes. I'm going to be honest with you. And I was following these guys, these French bloggers who were making not much, but like 500 to 1,000 euros per month from mostly ads, you know, like sponsored links, sponsored posts, Google AdSense, stuff like that. And I actually met these guys, and I met one of them. His name is Cédric Anissette. Today he's pretty big. He's one of the biggest marketers in the French market. And we had lunch, and I was like, oh, that's what I want to do. And he gave me some advice, like some, you know, websites to register, to be able to publish ads and get paid. And yeah, well, I was about to close with that job offer. Oh, I want 50,000 euros per year. And the woman from HR, young woman, she was great. She called me at night. She was like, yeah, I had the answer from the two founders. So it's 45,000 plus 5,000 euro bonus. And it's a great salary in Paris. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I took my decision. I'm going to start my own business.
So they gave you the number, the amount that you wanted.
Yeah.
And you rejected it because you met this blogger who was making more money than you, and you started to see the possibility of what you could grow into. Am I right?
So it wasn't even about the money. It was about the freedom.
The freedom. What do you mean?
Exactly.
What kind of freedom did they have? What kind of freedom do you imagine for yourself?
If I can make 1,000 euros per month, 2,000 euros per month, you know, then I'm free.
Free to do what? What would you have done?
No, I can go to Thailand and live on the beach. You know, that was my idea. I was 30. I was like, you know, I don't want to go back to a corporate job.
What was corporate jobs like for you?
The story is funny because I bought a secondhand book that I paid like 1 or 2 euros. And the title was like, how to make more money.
Okay.
And in the book, there were two main advice. The first advice was learn English, because any fool can do it. And at that time, I couldn't speak a word of English. So I started learning English by myself. And the second advice was, if you have a position, like as a technical guy, as an engineer, move to a sales position because you can make more money. So I quit my job and I got another job working as a salesperson for an IT services company. And I worked like crazy. I bought a suit, you know, I had my scooter. I was going to the banks and, you know, doing the meetings. But oh my God, it just didn't work. I was working a lot, making appointments. I made a few sales, but they just let me go. And that was a relief. And then I went to... So when I did this job, we were like actually like kind of renting engineers, you know, to big banks for like IT projects. But I was on the director side, and I saw how they were talking about the engineers. It was like, oh, we have Jean-Pierre, he's 45, so you have to absolutely find him a job. And I was like, what's wrong with Jean-Pierre? You know, I mean, he's 45, so he's got like 20 years to keep working to get like a full pension. And they were like, oh, but you know, after 45, they can't get a job anymore. I was like, hey, I don't want to be a Jean-Pierre later, okay?
Yeah, no you way. Don't want somebody a few years later looking at you and saying he's done at 45. Got it.
Yeah.
And so you said, I see a possibility. I could live in Thailand if I want to. I have the freedom to do whatever I want. And knowing you now a little bit, I get the sense that you also like the ability to just keep improving and growing based on your own personal appetites. Anyone who'd read a book that would tell them how to grow in business, and the book says, if you're an engineer, move into sales, and you move into sales. If you're not speaking English, learn English, and he learns English. That type of person wants the freedom to level up whenever he wants to. All right. So you said, I'm going back to my blog. I'm going to improve the blog and start making money. You told me how much once you started adding revenue, how much money you made the first month. Do you remember what the number was?
Yeah, totally. Of course. I made 82 euros. And it's funny, you know, because at that time I had a friend who was, he's a very smart guy, like guy from Lebanon, engineer guy, where speaks like four languages, super smart guys. And when I told him I made 82 euros, he couldn't help but laughing. And I understand because, you know, for him, it was like, oh, you work for a month, you made 82 euros. But I was like, yeah, but if I went from zero to 82 euros, maybe next month, you know, I'll make more and more and more. And I don't care.
What did you do to get your first 82 euros?
So I was actually counting like the money I was getting from the websites I was working with to have like some sponsor posts and stuff. In the end, I don't even know if I got this money, you know.
You just knew you earned it, but you don't know if the sites paid it out.
Yeah.
Because there were sites at the time that were doing sponsored posts. Is that what you did? Yeah, where someone would pay you money and then you write a blog post. And now in retrospect, what they were doing was SEO scamming, right? Or they were doing SEO pumping. They wanted somebody to write an article so that they get the link and then Google sees them as more authoritative.
Exactly.
Yeah. And at the time, there was a lot of shadiness around it, but I didn't understand that that's what that whole business was about until much later. All right. At some point, you said, well, actually, you grew to 1,000 euros. How did you grow to 1,000 euros? Let's take it a little slower, and then we'll get into system.
Yeah. So I started making more money from, you know, ads, growing my traffic. I actually started building my email list. I was around, I think it was like May of 2010. So I went with AWeber, and it's funny because in my mind, like, start spending $19 per month, that was like a big move. And I actually promoted a guy's course that he was selling on a webinar, and I made a sale. So I got a few hundred euros for the ads and the ads. So yeah, I made like 1,000 euros in just a month. And then I was like, okay, what's the next step? And I actually learned that there was a guy who, one of the bloggers I was following, that had made a launch. He launched like an online course about how to become an entrepreneur, really. And he had made a little bit over 100,000 euros in sales. Okay. And to me, it was like, you know, like mind-blowing money. Like, I couldn't believe it. And then I learned that it was actually another guy who had made his launch. And so it's funny, but I had met these two guys because we were all part of, you know, the street pickup community in France.
What's street pickup?
You know, the dating niche, like, yeah, I did that. I mean, so I wasn't a coach. I was, reading on the blogs, in the forums. No, you know, I was like, I was working as an employee, and as I was leaving work, you know, it was like, oh yeah.
Were you somebody who needed that? I know I was.
Yeah, I'd say, I wasn't like a virgin or something, but I always wanted more when it comes to, you know, relations. And I found this website, and it's crazy. It's like a kid in a candy store. I was like, whoa, I can't believe it's true. And so I started going out. Like on Saturday, I would take my car, go to Paris and walk all day long, sometimes alone, sometimes with some friends, and just talk to women, get phone numbers, and then call back. And then I was like meeting women, you know, online, websites, nightclubs, coworkers. I mean, it was, yeah.
What was it that worked for you about meeting women in person? That's the toughest one, isn't it?
Sorry, I don't understand the question.
So if you just walk down the streets of Paris, you'd meet a woman and start a conversation that eventually would lead to a date. What would you use to start that conversation?
Nah, it was like anything like,
So it wasn't a technique that you used.
No. And actually, no, not at all. Actually, so I made the numbers, you know, maybe I'm an analytical guy. And I found out that I had funny numbers, like I was talking about maybe to 20 or 30 women. I was getting like 10 phone numbers. And out of these 10 phone numbers, I would get like two dates. And out of these two dates, I would get like to go out with a girl.
You're basically turning it into a numbers game. And that I intentionally didn't read the book, The Game by Neil Strauss, who was a Mixergy guest. He had like a bag of magic tricks that he would keep with him, some gum, right? You're laughing, a notebook. So I didn't do any of that either. And I intentionally didn't read it until I met him. I will say this though. What worked for me was just committing myself to going and talking to five groups of women at least every night and not going home, not ending the day until I did that. And if I was in LA, the possibilities were there. And then it didn't matter what I would say. Something would come up and no pressure. I'm not trying to get a date or anything. I'm just having a conversation. If it naturally leads to let's continue this somewhere else, great. And then what I would do is sometimes just take them to a party and we'd become friends. Sometimes introduce them to a friend of mine. Sometimes nothing at all would happen. Totally fine. No pressure. Just focus on pushing myself to talk to at least five different groups of women. That's what seems like it worked for you too. If you went to 10.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the idea of self-improvement, that you could take a concept, you could be stuck for so long, which is what I was, and then come up with a simple concept and put it out and see it work. And then another concept and another concept. Yeah. And you feel a sense of power over the rest of your life too, instead of helplessness, right?
Yeah, exactly, Andrew. But you know what? Actually, what happened is that because I discovered this dating niche, and I started reading the books that were recommended. So I read How to Make Friends, How to Win Friends.
How to Make Friends and Influence People. Yes. I went to work for Dale Carnegie Associates after reading that book.
Yeah, great book. You know, I read it. And I read also Influenced by Cialdini. And you know, the funny thing is at that time, so I was still an employee. And I had like an issue with a colleague that wouldn't let me actually get access to the resources. So I couldn't do my job.
Yep.
And the guy used to be friend, but then he got like angry or stuff. And I started using the technique and oh my God, it works so well.
Like, by doing what? Do you remember what you did with him?
So some very simple things. So I remember I was walking past his desk. I was like, hey, what are you working on? And I saw that he was surprised and was like,
an interest.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Listening to him, you know, like some very simple things. But I mean,
you're saying just asking, what are you working on? Opened him up and got him to stop being so.
Like not right away, but little by little, you know, he started because everybody loves to when someone listens to you, you know, and has some interest for you and stuff. But then, you know, I thought, look, if I got this result just by reading two books, then, you know, I could get so much more. So I kept reading books about self-improvement, business, and
What's a good one that we may not have heard of?
There are so many, but I know I read the one by Mark Manson, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. Like a few years ago when I was a bit down in my business. And the big takeaway of this book is it's okay not to feel okay.
I got it. I should go back and read. I got the audiobook of it and I never stuck with it. I should just go back and get it again because I see it on all the best, not just seller lists, but didn't Audible or Amazon come out with a list of books that people actually read all the way through? And How to Win Friends and Influence People was on there. And so is this book. By the way, let me take a moment to talk about my first sponsor. I've been thinking about this. First sponsor is Traffic Secrets. I've been thinking, should I bring up the name of this guy or not? When I started Mixergy, there was another guy. I don't know if he came after me or before me. I didn't know about him, but he was also doing interviews like me. His site was as developed as I hoped my site would be. After I started, I said, I know what I want now. I saw his site was there. And then he just stopped. His site never took off. He never got the name recognition that I have personally, but also for Mixergy. And I can't say that his work was bad. I listened to it. I think I do more research and more prep with the guests. He was too surprised by what the guest said, which told me that he didn't even have the basics down. But the guests were so good that it didn't matter. If you get the founder of LinkedIn on, he's going to be good no matter what. By the way, he turned me down, even though I was introduced through a friend and I was told, contact him by LinkedIn. Contacted him via LinkedIn. We chatted a bit. He said, Andrew's not a good fit. Anyway, this other podcaster got him, got a lot of guests on. So then why did my site take off where his didn't? It's not the research. I don't think people fully appreciate the value of it. And I know that that's not what brings people in. It's because I knew how to get traffic. And I didn't have all these different ways of getting traffic where I was buying Facebook ads, Twitter ads, doing SEO, doing all. I didn't. I just found one thing. For me, it was Hacker News. Just go on Hacker News. It's one community. Get free traffic from there by being actively participating in it. And because of that, I'm doing this 10 years later. He's given up years ago. And I'm not going to say his name because I heard through several friends, he was so angry at me. I heard through several friends that he felt that I stole his idea. And I didn't. I don't even know that he exists. I have no problem saying that Gregory Gallant was out there before me. And I was definitely inspired by Gregory Gallant. And I interviewed him on Mixergy because I told him I was inspired by him and I wanted to learn more. So I have no problem saying that other people inspired me. Anyway, he's so bent out of shape. I'm not going to bring it up, but I could see why. His site didn't take off, mine did. And all because, largely because I found a way to get traffic, somebody to come and pay attention. And the more people I got to listen, the more people wanted to do interviews and the more lives I touched and the more impact I had, which is my goal. So all that's to say, bringing it back to Traffic Secrets' podcast is, you, if you're listening to me, you might have an idea that's great. Maybe it's just as good as somebody else's. Don't fall behind by not getting traffic, by not getting people to come and watch it, not getting people to read it, not getting people to try your software. It doesn't have to be this big, expensive proposition. There are many free ways to do this that people like me have done. And if you want a podcast that will just tell you how it's done by others, give you some suggestions with no forced assignments, no forced exhaustion, just listen and you'll find one or two techniques that you'll use and implement them and grow your business. If you want that, it's a totally free podcast. I'm not even being tracked, so they don't even know how effective this ad is, even though I've got a feeling this is a killer, a good ad. Just go to whatever podcast app you're listening to me on right now and listen to Traffic Secrets. Just subscribe for free, listen to the ideas, and see how much bigger your business could be. Traffic Secrets. Let's continue then with your story. You created your course. How did the course do?
So actually, it's funny because I got in touch with the blogger. Mm-hmm. And I approached him by saying, hey, could I do your interview, you know? So we did the interview. And after the interview, I was like, oh, you know, I heard that you manage Oliver's Launch. I'd be interested in doing the same. And he said, sure, like I could, you know, give some advice, but, you know, it's a bit expensive. And I was like, oh, I have some savings. He was like, okay, so that's 24,000 euros, including VAT. And at that time, it was half of my money, half of my savings. And I thought about it for like 3 days. I thought that this guy was very clever. He made a really good impression on me. And then he launched Oliver's course and they had success. So what can I ask more to this guy? So I made a check, sent him by mail. So he helped me run a survey on my list. I had about 1,500 people on my email list and to find out what were their biggest pain points. So it's the classic way when you want to launch an online course. You run a survey on your list, ask the goal question, which is, what's your biggest frustration when it comes to your niche?
Ah, okay.
And people said, oh, I would like to do the same as you, you know, like have a blog and make money. I was like, okay, let's create a blogging course. So he helped me with the marketing. We kind of pre-sold the course. We had the name, the content, the table of contents, should I say. Mm-hmm. So we did a webinar. We sold a few copies of it. So it was 500 euros at that time. And it's funny because we ran the webinar like on Sunday at night and I made like, I don't know, my first four or five sales. And it was incredible, you know, this feeling of, wow, it works. Like I made a couple thousand euros. It was unbelievable. And the next day I took my camera and I went to the park to start shooting the videos for my course. Because I told people the course is not ready yet. You will get access like in 3 days. So I had 3 days to shoot the first videos. So we did two webinars. I made 10,000 euros of sales.
Okay.
You know, the first launch. The plan was to do a big launch. I don't know if you've heard of Jeff Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone was like, these guys were fans of Jeff Walker and applying his techniques, you know, so he's got this course that's called the product launch formula. So the idea was to make a big launch and I kept working by kind of networking, meeting people and stuff. So it's funny because the next year we did a launch. So we had a ton of affiliates. We had 13,000 people, 13,000 people subscribing on the launch list to watch the free videos. And we made 550 sales of my course that was priced at 1,000 euros.
550 sales at 1,000 euros, so over half a million euros.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. At that time, it was the biggest launch in the French market, thanks to Sebastian. I should name him. So he goes to many events in the US and stuff. So Sebastian, the French marketer, I think that's like his nickname.
Okay.
So he's a very smart guy. And yeah, but it's funny because, you know, so we actually closed the launch. We were at the airport and we took the plane to go to Scottsdale to go to Jeff Walker's event. And I signed up to become a member of Jeff's mastermind group. But the thing is that I never embraced this product launch model. I never liked it.
Why?
Because so when you first hear about it, like you're going to make 1 year of revenue in 2 weeks, you're like, whoa, that's great. And it's actually the opposite, because it's so much work, like so much work. You have no idea. So much work, so much stress. And it's before, during, and after, because we had so many customers. I was literally waking up at 8, being at my desk all day long to answer customers' questions and stuff, and not going out and going to bed at 10 at night. But it was okay. You know, I mean, you know, we had made good money. So actually, I didn't get to keep all that money. In the end, I was left with maybe like 120,000 euros, which is great, but it's not half a million, obviously, because you have like a churn, refunds, you know, churn, VAT, affiliates, launch consultant, video guy, et cetera, et cetera. So, but still, I was very happy about it. But the thing is that, so I joined Jeff's mastermind group, and it was funny because I was feeling like the dude that didn't have like interesting things to tell. And actually, so the following year, we did 450,000. The next year, we did 250,000. And the following year, 2014, we did just 150,000.
Why? Why'd you keep going down?
Because, so I wasn't really good at getting traffic. I wasn't the worst, but I wasn't great at it. And I was relying on traffic from my JVs and, you know, relationships. I don't know, like I was getting less and less traffic because I think the JVs were feeling that I wasn't getting like a lot of traffic by myself. So I was relying on other JVs traffic. So there was no need to really promote me because it was better to promote the guys that were able to get a lot of traffic by themselves. So, and I felt that I wasn't like really bringing, you know, a lot of value. Like there was Oliver, like he had a blogging course as well. And he was kind of like more successful, more interesting. He was getting a ton of traffic with his blog and his social network. I was like, oh, you know. So I decided to quit Jeff's mastermind group. And in 2015, I went by myself. So I just had like my YouTube channel, my blogs, my email list, and I started trying to find my own thing. And, you know, it was interesting because when I was in Jeff's group, everyone was saying you have to sell expensive products, like 1,000 euros, 2,000 euros. And I was like, how do you know? You've never tried. So I tried different things. I tried to sell like smaller courses, you know, that, yeah.
Why did you decide to do software?
Okay. So because I think I read the Lean Startup like in 2011 or 2012, and I started listening to your show around 2012. And I don't know, listening to your show, listening to the interviews, I used to say it's crazy. Like every time I listen to one of these podcast episodes, I find out about another guy that I didn't know that's making, you know, 50,000 per month in revenue at least. And I was like, oh, that's a great business model, you know, and they have more valuations than, you know, like the online courses businesses.
Yeah.
you're smiling when you say this.
No, it's true. So like, and it's also surprising how, like you said, there's so many people out there who are doing this that we don't even know, that are sometimes focused on small niches. Sometimes they're competing with 50 other people, but they're still doing well, right? Yeah. Nathan Barry is a good example of that. Nathan Barry, a guy who was just writing books, writing content, and suddenly decided that he wanted to create his own landing pages. And then it grew into something different. But meanwhile, we grew into email marketing, and there are tons of email marketing companies out there, MailChimp, AWeber, Infusionsoft, whatever, and you're still doing really well, right?
Yeah, so my idea, because, you know, remember like 2015, so I bought this apartment in Lisbon, and I was like, look, I want to keep investing, and what's my added value when I invest in real estate, you know? I mean, you have other people with money who can invest in real estate in Lisbon, and it's not that complicated, okay? You just have to be patient and look for the right opportunity and then, you know, be reactive and try to snatch it. I was like, look, if I invest in my own business, I should be able to get a much better return on investment because it's a niche. I have a lot of experience, you know, in copywriting, like digital marketing. So I should be able, and I spend most of my days on my own business. So I should be able to get a better return on investment. So it was really like an investment decision.
Okay. How did you come up with your idea? And then I'll ask you about how you had it developed. How did you figure out what to create?
No, it's a good idea. So actually I started because I was very frustrated with the existing solutions. I remember I think it was 2013 or 2014. I was living in Colombia with my wife. We had just gotten married, and I started using Entreport, and I was paying $300 per month, and I just could not use the freaking thing because there was no Stripe at that time. And like, I couldn't get the PayPal works. I had to find like some Russian guy on Upwork, and I paid him $1,000 to get like some gateway developed to use PayPal, and the guy couldn't do it. And I mean, he got paid, and I was like, you know, I remember those days.
We're not even talking about a long time ago. And Entreport, they were email marketing that was going to do a lot more. I think they even created landing pages, right?
Oh, totally. So that was exactly the premise of this app. Like you could like build pages and stuff, but the design was terrible. It was really painful to use, and I just couldn't really use it. So I started thinking, okay, maybe I should get some guy. And actually, I hired a developer from Bangladesh to help me like build the pages, but like custom design. So I had to ask him whenever I wanted to, you know, to change some line and stuff.
For yourself?
Yeah, just for myself.
When you were selling your own courses, you hired a guy from Bangladesh. He created landing pages to your specific needs. And every time you needed to make it a change, he would change it for you.
Yeah, that was early 2016. And actually right before I hired like, so that was a client of mine, a French guy living in Morocco. And I started saying on my email list and stuff, I want to build a software. And he said, oh, I have a development, a web like a software development company. I can do it for you for like, I don't know, like 7,000 euros.
Okay.
I was like, really? You know, okay. You know, it's so little money.
So the first version was built by someone on your email list for 7,000 euros?
Oh, so that was the theory, but then came the reality because we paid that, and I admit that I was like, okay, we would need these features. And after 3 months, the guy was like, look, there is so much work to get done, and I have my developer, so now I need to get paid on a monthly basis, which made sense. Okay, so I started paying. But I mean, these guys, they didn't have a clue. It was so bad. We flew with my wife to Morocco. That was like April of 2016. And we met them. And this guy was so good at telling me that everything was going to be all right. But actually, so bad at delivering. Like, this guy wouldn't answer my messages on Skype. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I don't check my Skype messages. I was like, okay, no worries. So then I started sending emails, but he wouldn't answer. I mean, it was insane. Uh-huh. They were so bad. And I remember we were in the meeting room in Morocco, so meeting together. And I was like, hey,
country,
you know.
You were talking about the country in Northern Africa, Morocco.
Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly, yeah. Okay, Morocco.
So you were in a meeting with him there, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. His wife was Moroccan and he was living there. And I remember we were in the meeting room with them and their developer. And I was like, hey, you know, guys, I've been doing some research and I found this thing. So it's called Scrum. Like it's a development, you know, like a methodology, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy, they say, Scrum, what's that? And he asked his developer, could you make some research about it? I was like, Scrum, that's the, you know, like the thing that all the startups use in the world, like it's the basis, right? Mm-hmm. So we were struggling, and I fired him. So that was early November. So it took me a while, you know, to realize.
Did you get customers yet with his version or not yet?
No.
I never even got to that point.
Oh, look, once I talked about it on YouTube, so I published a link or people saw the URL, and 5 minutes later, I had a guy actually taking the URL, injecting some code. So there was like a big pink unicorn in the middle of the page because it was developed so bad. Like I remember, yeah.
Wow,
so,
wow.
So I had some beta users and they found out, they were like, oh, it looks like if I have a URL, mm-hmm. I can actually access data from other accounts.
Oh, wow. It was so bad that anyone could either inject a unicorn on the page or see other people's account information.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I was like, guys, you know, I understand bugs happen, you know, but like.
This is basic stuff that.
Yeah. I mean, the data of our users, you know, there is no way we can do everything we can to make it secure, you know, no way.
All right, let me take a moment. I'm going to talk about my first sponsor. I want to know how you fixed it, but I also want to know why you didn't give up. At this point, you could have just gone back and said, I've got these courses, things working. But first, let me tell you about another Mixergy listener. His name is Eric Berger. He's a lobbyist. Think about how you're so far from software that you were a course creator. He's a lobbyist. And he looked around and said, you know what? I understand why people are fed up in America because they feel like they don't have a voice. Now, somebody who's a client of Eric's or any lobbyist has a voice. They have somebody who's going to get them access to the government. He said, you know, how do I give the regular people a voice? It can't just be people who have the money and the access to lobbyists. So he had this idea. He said, what if people knew who their representatives were? What if they had an easy way of sending, say, a voicemail to their representatives or a text message or making a call to them or tweeting at them or doing whatever they're comfortable with? What if they had an easy way of sharing their message with their friends who could then go and contact their representatives without any issues? Anyway, he had this idea, but he's a guy who has a full-time job. He's a lobbyist, as I said. Well, Eric's a Mixergy listener, and he said, you know, Andrew keeps talking about these guys at TopTal. Let me just give them a shot. So he calls up TopTal by going to toptal.com/Mixergy. Anyone who's listening to me can set up a call with TopTal and get some feedback. And TopTal said, yeah, we could build this for you. And sure enough, they built it for him. I got on a call with him. I said, tell me about the problems, because I'm kind of a nudnik when it comes to this stuff. I want to know about pain. I want to know about frustration. I want to know where, if I'm recommending someone, if there's a problem with them. Because Andrew, there's no problem at all. These guys are so good. I said, let me see what you've done. He said, I'm going to share my screen and show you, but I want you to understand what you're seeing here, how it impacts people. And he told me about this organization called, what is it? Vaccination Alliance of Connecticut. They wanted to get more people to vaccine their kids in Connecticut. So he shows me the landing page that he created for them. He shows me how if I don't do anything, it knows what my area code is and allows me to figure out who my representatives are. And then quickly, I can send an email, a tweet, I can sign a petition, and anything that I want to do automatically gets super easy to do. I said, all right, great. I like that you have a good site design. Did it work? He said, yeah, they were able to pass their law. They embedded our software on their site. They were able to get people to take action and the legislation passed. Anyway, that's what Eric did. If you're out there listening to me and you need to hire developers, the best of the best developers, I've said this forever. No Mixergy listener has ever disagreed with me on that. No Mixergy guest is what I meant to say, but I'm sure the same is true for listeners. Here's where the guests have given me problems in the past. They say, yeah, I like it, but I don't want to hire outsourced developers, or I don't want to hire developers who are not in my office. I want them to sit next to me. Well, now because of COVID, people are more aware of how remote working works and they're much more open to it. So if you're somebody who's wanted to try this, who wants to hire developers, I urge you to go to toptal.com/Mixergy. When you do, you will get the best of the best developers available to you right now. And if you use that URL, you get 80 hours of developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours, in addition to a no risk trial period. That's top as in top of your head, tal as in talent, .com/Mixergy, TOPTAL.com/MIXERGY. Is it awkward that the two of us are sitting here and I'm doing this ad? I'm looking at your face and trying to read it. It is a little bit, isn't it?
No, it's totally fine. I mean, I know that you have two sponsors in your show, so, you know.
You know what? Sometimes I engage my guests with it because I know my sponsors love when I engage my guests and it feels a little less awkward.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. I was on a freaking roll. I had to tell Eric's story.
Totally fine. It's great.
Tell me why you didn't give up. Why didn't you say, you know what? I had a good thing going with this course business. Let's just go to that. Forget about everything else.
Yeah, it's a great question, you know. And so I was doing about, I was able to do about 20 to 30,000 euros per month in revenue, which is really good. But you know, it's funny. I was really feeling as a failure big time. It's terrible. Like I was feeling so bad. I mean, my life was great, you know, with my wife and living in Lisbon was great. But business wise, I was feeling like a failure because these guys were making launches. And I was hearing stories. They made 1 million, 1.5, 2 million. Yeah. I was like, dude,
what's wrong with me? I'm not doing that. I'm listening to you guys. Exactly. That makes you who are doing well. So what did you respond? How did you deal with that?
I just kept trying with what I had in mind.
Why did you give up?
So what happened is that, you know, so I fired these guys from Morocco and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And right after I had the guys from Bangladesh who was still working with me because he was doing the Stripe integration so I could sell my stuff, okay?
Using Office Autopilot or what do they call it? They changed their name to, what's the name of the software that you were using?
Entreport.
Entreport, no, right? No. It used to be called Office. With Entreport.
Yeah, I never get to use Entreport, okay. Right? I paid maybe, I don't know, over $1,000. No, the guy from Bangladesh did an integration from Stripe so I could actually sell. I was selling like a subscription offer for my courses. So it was under 20 euros per month. So you get access to all my courses. So it was great value because I had read The Automatic Customer by John Warrilow, you know, great book. So I was working with the guys from Morocco. I fired them. And the guy was from Bangladesh. He was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to get like cheap freelancers on Upwork. And I'm going to, you know, take the project and take over. So the guy took 2 months. And then we plugged the button on what he did, and it just stopped working. And I was like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm gonna." We had a few beta users, if you want, okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Okay." The next day, it still wasn't working. The guy was like, "Oh, don't worry, I'm gonna take care of it." I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure you're gonna take care of it, but it's not working. So we need to find a solution." So I started looking for people on Upwork by myself, and it's crazy when I think about it. Like I would literally get in touch with a guy in Vietnam or Portugal or whatever. I was like, here are the passwords. Help me.
Just some random person here, the passwords, go help me. Okay. That's how desperate you are.
Yeah, pretty much. But at that time we didn't have any real user. It was just a few customers like beta testing and stuff. And it's crazy because I still remember the time I saw this guy. So he was from Russia and I saw his face and I was about to send, you know, so on Upwork, you have like a default message like, hey, I saw your profile on Upwork, blah, blah, blah. And I was about to hit send. And I was like, wait, this guy looks like, you know, like a good guy. Let's edit the message a little bit, you know, make it more personal. And the guy replied to me and we started working together. And it's crazy because right from the beginning, I saw from the reaction of the other guys that he was so much better because the other guys were like, oh, but you know, there is this problem with blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And this guy, he was like this 2 hours. 2 hours later, it was done. So, you know, I was telling the guys, look, I understand, you know, it's not easy and stuff, but I need people who find solutions, not problems.
I'm sorry. So he built the site for you for how much money?
No. So he was working per hour as a freelancer because the project was quite big because we knew we would have to do landing pages, autoresponder and stuff. I was like, hey, do you know someone that's like you? And he was like, yeah, before I was working with another Russian guy for a company in the US and I know he's good. I was like, let's get him on board, you know? So okay. The guy accepted, he came in. But then we needed a third guy to actually build the page editor because it's a different technology. And he was searching in his network and we couldn't find anyone. And I kept insisting. And after a couple of months, he told me, hey, you know what? I talked with this guy 1 month ago, but now he wants to go freelance and he could be a good fit. So we got him on board. We started building the product. So we were not making any revenue from this. So in 2016, we actually ended up losing maybe, I don't know, 12,000 euros. But I could see that we were building something, you know. And right from the beginning, I felt that there was like some magic in this team. Like, I don't know, we were working so well. So we use Slack, you know, everyone works what he wants. So I'm kind of the product guy. So I was working closely with them to build a product. I started migrating my own business over. So I left Aweber. I moved my email list to our software. We started using it. And then we moved, I think it was the payment pages. And then the last step was moving actually all the online courses. And we launched the product in April 2018 on my list.
And how did it do? Who bought it?
Yeah, so no, it went well. I mean, we had, I think after the launch, we had our first like 400 customers.
From where? So how'd you launch and get 400 customers?
So I had my own email list. I had, I don't know, maybe 20,000 people on my list, maybe 30,000.
All these people were coming to you to learn how to build an online business the way that you had. And so they had a need for something like what you were using.
Yeah, I mean, I told him, look, I think it's great. That's what I use. You know, it's cheap. So, and you know, I'm an email marketing guy. I've been sending emails for 10 years. You know, so we did this launch. And
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just to be clear, I think the lowest tier of your software is $29 a month. Am I right?
It's $27.
$27. All right. So $27. You're looking at over $10,000 in revenue, $10,000 in monthly recurring revenue, assuming they all stuck around.
Yeah.
That's great for all the work that you'd put in. You finally saw some real money, not just one or two customers, but a significant number.
Well, no, it's great. But at $10,000 in sales, I wasn't actually, I was still operating at the loss. Okay. Because you have because you have 2,000, like 20% VAT that you have to pay to the state, you know, so like European state. So it's like 2,000 euros. Then you have like
lift with 8,000 euros. What else did you spend the rest of the money on?
Well, then you had the affiliates, because I launched my affiliate program in 2017, and we use our own software to run our affiliate program. So in 2017, it was only my courses that our affiliates could promote. But then, of course, then we added the software subscription.
So some of the 400 sales that came in from the launch were from affiliates?
Yeah, so actually, at that time, it wasn't majority. It was, maybe, I don't remember, but maybe 20, okay, 30, 40%.
What was your cut for affiliates? How much commission did they get?
So we pay 40% affiliate commissions for life.
Fantastic, okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because sometimes, I see like some software owners saying, oh, you shouldn't pay that much. But I'm like, hey, I want my affiliates to make money, you know, so they keep promoting. So maybe it's not always a good strategy, but that was my vision, and it still is. So then I had to pay like some servers to send emails. We use SendGrid actually. So I was operating.
I'm sensing the expenses. How much were you paying for developers?
So at that time it was about, it was costing me, I think it was 10,000 euros per month.
Okay. All right. So I see why you were down, but not bad. Now this is a good launch. It's a good start.
Oh, yeah.
What was the next thing that you did to get more customers?
Yeah. So it's amazing, you know, because at the beginning I was like, okay, so the launch has happened. So what do we do next? So I started this Facebook group to try to engage users, and we were getting like new people getting in like every day, but it wasn't much. It wasn't very impressive, you know? So today we have 11,000 members in this Facebook group. And it was little by little. It's funny. I have all the numbers, you know, for each month, and yeah, it was growing, but it wasn't growing fast, but still it was growing, you know, like I had some month I was growing by 12%. So it's not much, but still it's 12% in a month. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And it's recurring
and I
revenue.
Don't know, like, yeah, the affiliate program started getting traction. I don't know. And the thing is, we were adding some features, and in the group, I was announcing them, and I still do it. And people were getting so excited, and we were adding so many features so fast. I don't know. It's crazy because, you know, I started to go, I tried to go and contact the influencers, like the marketers, the people selling the online courses, and I couldn't get anyone to promote us. because either they were using like different tool, or they didn't care, or they didn't like me. And that's the craziest thing ever, is that we went from zero to number one in the French market in 2 years with almost no influencer promoting us. It's only the small guys, the small affiliates promoting us.
And one of the ways that they promote you is by actively telling their people, go use the software, right?
But So actually the thing is, so they can promote. So I have a book that I wrote in 2014 about how to make money blogging. And I wrote another book about like personal freedom, you know, with my, what I learned while investing in real estate and in business and stuff. So affiliates can actually offer these books for free, like the digital version.
Got it.
And once that someone sign up on my email list, I can send him emails, and then I can sell courses and software.
And then if you make the conversion, they get 40%. All they have to do is give away your book for free.
Yeah, exactly. And so they can also promote some, we have some small sales funnels to promote our online courses, because I have like half a dozen online courses, like how to make money blogging, to sell like high
ticket. And they promote it for a commission. They sell it and then they get a commission of the sales from those courses, right?
Yeah, most of the time, actually, they don't promote the offer right away. They just send people who opt into our email list. And then each week we run a promotion to our list. We're very aggressive.
As long as they get someone on your list, they don't have to sell anything. You do the selling. They just have to say, go get this free book, and that's enough.
Yeah.
And then they get 40% got a commission. All
right. Yeah.
Also, on the bottom of all the landing pages that you create, there's a link, you said, back to system.io, but anyone can get rid of it. If they don't get rid of it, they get a commission when someone follows that. Okay, what about this? Let's talk a little bit about product now that we've done some marketing conversation. Yeah. Product, what went into the very first version?
No, actually, when we launched it, so we had the landing pages, but I remember at the beginning, like, it was almost everything. It's just that it was like small features that were missing. So actually,
you had landing pages, you had email marketing software in it, you had sales in it.
Yeah, like payment pages, of course. But then we added the PayPal integrations. At the beginning, it was only Stripe. Mm-hmm. Then we added the ability to use custom domains, which causes an issue with the SSL certificate, because all the pages today are HTTPS. So it was very costly at the beginning because we were using Cloudflare, but then we moved to Amazon AWS. So we kept adding some features. And it's crazy. Like, we started getting some testimonials from users like, hey, it's great. You know, it's so much thing. It's so easy to use. It's so affordable. I don't know. It's crazy. Like, and we kept working on it. We had our first customer in the US. That was July 2018. And I have absolutely no idea how she found our website. But then it was very slow, even though our software was available in English. So we grew mostly in the French market. And we started really working on the English market. That was September last year.
I see now, according to SimilarWeb, 10% of your traffic is coming from the US.
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, December is when you hit your first $1 million run rate, right? If you multiply the December revenue, was it, by 12, then you realize you've got $1 million in recurring revenue. Am I right?
Yeah.
How did that feel? Do you remember the moment when you saw that?
So I don't remember the moment where I saw that, but I mean, it's been like an amazing ride. It's been so exciting, you know, because we kept making, I mean, each month we pretty much were doing more. Actually, each day we had more subscribers. So I could see that something was happening, you know, and I don't remember that day. I remember, so that was very exciting. I was very looking forward to reaching 100,000 euros in monthly recurring revenue. So that was like in March this year. And then the COVID crisis hit, and it's been crazy because we grew by 50% in like 3 months.
Why? Why did COVID lead you to grow?
Oh, it's so, you know, like, I listened to your interview of the Teachable founder. They had the same experience. I mean, everything that's related to start an online business, it grew a lot because of COVID, because one, people were, you know, trying to find ways to make an additional income, launch a side business. And two, people were actually stuck at home, like, you know, buzzing the internet.
So both buyers and sellers were going online more. And so yeah, it works great for online for online people.
Yeah.
Obviously painful for people who are offline. Yeah, and
some people transitioning. Like I remember I saw an email, because when people sign up for the free trial, they get an email sequence. In the first email, it's like, hey, you know, what's your business? You know, just hit reply and, you know. And she said, look, I'm doing like some fitness classes, life classes. I can't do it anymore. So I'm looking for ways to sell my expertise online. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense, you know?
God, so someone who has fitness classes offline is thinking, yeah, maybe I do fitness classes online, doing Zoom. Maybe I do fitness classes some other way.
Exactly.
Maybe it's an online course. Got it. All right. Let me see if I get the big takeaways here. Number one, what you did was you solved your own problem. Since you were a user of this, of all the software, you recognized that there was pain that you were feeling. And if you weren't solving it, if you couldn't solve it for yourself, probably others were like you and couldn't. That's number one. Number two, you had an audience that you built up before, right?
Yeah.
So that's important. Number three, you sucked at getting your software developed. And that's part of your process. If you had to give advice to somebody who's not a developer, who needs to get someone to code up their site, what would you have done differently? What would you recommend to the person who's listening to us?
You need to find the right person or the right persons, but most of the developers are not good.
So the people who you worked with who didn't know Scrum were not right. If you could do it over again, you would probably give them smaller projects, get a sense of how you work together, see if you jive on Slack, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then the last point is the power of affiliates that I don't think we talk enough about. We talk about Facebook ads. We talk about content marketing, SEO. It's interesting. You're one of the few people who I heard say that smaller affiliates have done really well for you. A lot of companies will say, forget the small affiliates. I only want a few big ones. The small ones are too hard to manage. But it worked better for you because...
No, so we've got an affiliate program that's like self-serve. And actually the cool thing is that because we have the landing pages and the email list inside the same tool, we have a very strong tracking. So what happens is that when someone opt-ins to one of my, you know, pages, like opt-in pages, he gets automatically an affiliate ID. There is no need to register as an affiliate. So, you know, there is very low friction, because all the people on my list are affiliates. So I can actually send them emails, either newsletters or email campaigns saying, hey, you just, you know, sign up on my list. It's great. If you want to recommend it, here is your affiliate link, and boom. And that's their affiliate link and can start using it right away. So,
but you don't find that there's cheating or that there's too much handholding or maintenance involved with so many small affiliates?
No, because it's self-serve. That's the opposite. Well, like I don't have an affiliate manager. I tried to, you know, to hire one, but couldn't find the right person, but we don't have one. So that's the thing. Because
you have pay when you get paid yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
So we change the marketing campaign. Sometimes we're going to promote to our entire list the opportunity to promote a sales funnel as an affiliate, to make money as an affiliate. I mean, we try to integrate it into our marketing.
All right. And then there's one last thing. Where was that? The name of the book that we mentioned earlier. I didn't want to close it out without bringing it up. It's Secrets of Power Persuasion by Roger Dawson. I'm looking at the old table of contents. I haven't read this in years, not since that day in college when I was looking for a pick-me-up and this did it. It's How to Ask for More. Let me see. How unions and managements get each other's goats. That's not the right. Let me look at some chapter titles. Tell them only as much as they believe. Here's another chapter title. Never assume they believe you. Here's another chapter title. Use precise numbers. Remember how I remember thinking,
of course,
you have to round up because who needs the specific number? No, he explains. People believe it more when it's an exact number. And I think the story he tells about was Dove was 99.9% pure or something like that. And he says people believe it more. They could have said 100. No one was going to say you're off, right? Use the power of the printed word. Let them know who else says so. That's endorsements. Oh, here's one that we use all the time now in online marketing. Use, quote, if they can do it, I can do it. Tons. So it was such a good book for me at the time when I was in business classes. And they were interesting, but just not relatable. And this was immediately impactful. Just go out and use these techniques and see what happens. All right. Your website, I'm going to give you one piece of feedback. I think that it's going to be a challenge for someone who's listening to us to go to systeme.io. I'm concerned about the English spelling of system. I wish that you had system without the E at the end, .io. What do you think?
I think that the guy who's trying to, like the owner of this domain, who's trying to sell it to me for a couple of millions would be very happy to listen to you.
It's not worth that. And he's not even using system.io, but we need something else. How about system.ai? No, it's... No, that's not going to work either.
Andrew, I'm a direct marketer guy. I'm not a branding guy. And I know that our name and our domain name is not the best, but I'd say that at least it does the job. You know, I think that if MailChimp has become a company that made, I don't know, like 800 million in revenue last year, it's not because their logo feature a funny chimpanzee, right? It's because it does many things and it's very affordable. So at the end of the day, it's what it does for you, how much it costs. And yeah, I think that, so, you know, like Teachable, for example, I always get Fedora.
I know.
I mean, we can still rebrand, you know, down the way. It's not the end of the world. In the meantime, it works. Like, so I actually talked with the guy, the domain owner. He was like, hey, you know, 2 million. I was like, look, it's not worth 2 million to me. Because
it's worth
what
2,000 tops. Not even that.
How much?
I don't even think it's worth 2,000 euro.
Well, I offer 20,000 and he's playing, you know, dead silent. But, you know, I told him when people type down system.io system without an E, so it's not the correct spelling. So two things happen. First, they realize they made a mistake and either search in Google and find us, or either they don't find us, in which case I don't think they're very valuable customers. So, I mean, I told him, like, if you want to make a quick money, just say yes, and I will wire you the money. But I'm actually thinking, like, if I get the domain name, I'm not even sure if I will use it. So
it's not worth that much money. I wouldn't pay more than $2,000 for system without the E.
Yeah,
system,
but now
right now it's systeme.io. Yeah, system so spelled, that's a French spelling of system.
That's the French spelling exactly. You know, but I mean, you have Lyft. That's got a, you know, you have so many companies. Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it really matters. Like, no English speaking customer, and now we have a few hundreds, you know, no one has ever said, hey, you know, there is a problem with your name or your domain, because it doesn't really matter.
I feel like it's because you're not yet huge in the US, and to be bigger, I do think you're going to at some point rebrand, but I agree with you. That's not the biggest, it's not the biggest issue. To be honest with you, I'm bringing it up because I believe it, but also because I want to highlight to my audience that if they're going to type it in, they should remember the E. So I gave myself permission to end it with a critical note, because I think that that's what's going to also embed in people's minds. I got to type in system with the letter E at the end, .io. Yeah. And if you do, you're going to find a very sparse page. I've talked to him about this and he says he's tested. Oh, look at that. I heard that. First of all, I know you feel bad, and I could see it even on some of the posts that you've written online and other places. You feel bad about the page. You can't wait for the new launch of the site. But the other thing is, you told me before you got started, Andrew, here's the stats of why this page outperforms all the other pages that everyone else thinks is going to do well. And I'm a numbers person. If this converts better, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to use it, even if Andrew Warner doesn't fully understand it. And I get it. And I think that that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right. Totally. I think we've said it all here. Let me end the interview by thanking my two sponsors. The first, if you're looking to hire developers and you don't want the agita of having to fly to other countries, explain to them what Scrum is. I think I just popped my mic by saying that. Yeah, I'm getting the red light because I'm a little too hopped up on there. If you want a developer or a team of developers you can count on, do what so many people who I've interviewed here have done. Go to toptal.com/mixergy. And finally, if you're looking for another podcast to listen to at the end of this, listen to the podcast that will help you get more traffic. It's called Traffic Secrets. Roger Dawson would love that there's a word secrets in that podcast name. Traffic Secrets. Bye, everyone.